God is a good God. You know what? I just got to say one quick thing before we get rolling here. That is the very first time, Lowell, that I seen anybody hold their baby up and they're backwards and the baby's facing this way. You did good, buddy. What a beautiful baby. Lily of the Valley. What a beautiful, beautiful baby. How many's thankful for babies? How many wants to have more of them? Yeah, couple hands, yay. Jordan, yeah. I heard this story. This man gets to heaven, these guys get to heaven, and God stops him and says, I want to do something this morning for all of you men that you rule your homes. I want you in this line over here. And all the men that the wives lead the home, I want you guys lined up over here. Well, the line where all the women ruled the home was 100 miles long. And the line where the men ruled the house, there's just one person in it. And God said to all the men in that really long line, he said, you know, I created you and made you that you'll be a ruler. What's going on here? And he looked over to the one man. He says, and how did you do it? He says, I don't know. My wife just told me to stand here. I thought that was kind of cute. Here's how we're starting out this morning. This is the text we've been using every week. Ezekiel 36:26. And it says this. It says, I will give you. I will give you. And I will put a. And I will take out your. And I will give you a. You know, let me just say this as Christians. It's really important that we keep a tender heart. And I'll be honest, in this world, sometimes that's difficult because so many things happen. Amen? One thing after another happens, and it's really hard to keep that pliable, soft heart. I was talking to a person just yesterday, the day before, I don't remember what it was, and he was telling me about a neighbor of his at one point that they parked, you know, in front of the other house. There was no other place where they parked, and the neighbor run up and hit the back of the vehicle and just shoved it down the street a little ways and then left for church. And I'm not going to say no more after that, because when he told me that, I just got kind of tickled. So he said, I will give you. Now, who's the I in that? It's God. God says, I will give you a new heart. I like that. So today we're going to talk about something, because we've been talking about this whole topic of cultivating a heart for God. So today is learning to be a slave. And most of you guys said, yeah, we're already there. No, I'm just kidding. But God has called us to be a slave. So I want to explain some things. I'm going to use a lot of text this morning because I really want us to get this. So here it is, James 1:1. It says, this letter is from a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad, and he says, greetings. But I like the way he starts that. He talks about a slave of God. He is a slave of God. And I know for most of us, it's like, man, I don't want to be a slave. Not to nobody, right? It goes completely against everything that we've been taught throughout the world. You know, there's a lot of things that actually aren't taught but are caught. How many knows what I'm talking about? Some things aren't taught, but somehow they get caught. And it doesn't mean it's always right, but that's what happens in life. Some things just get caught. And there's this thing that we always want to push for the front of the line when Jesus says something a little bit different. In fact, John 3:30 says this. Says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Years ago when I was working at Mobile, you know, that there was a way we did things a long time ago. And then as time started changing, we had to start doing these evaluations. And so you would go in and talk to your boss, and you had to let your boss know how good you were. Are they still doing those today? We got to go in and they don't? Lowell shaking his head no. But they had a period of time where you had to go and you had to tell your boss how good you're doing, and you had to really brag on yourself. And I'll be honest, I had a really hard time doing that. I did that when I was younger really well. But as you get older and you start listening to the Word of God and you start letting God become a part of you, it kind of changes your nature. Amen? And not only that, I had Brother Billy. Brother Billy was always teaching a lot of principles. In Mark 9:33-37, talking about the greatest in the kingdom, the disciples were having a conversation that who was the greatest. You know, our kids always tease. They have they tease Cheryl about her list of who's on top. And it's not me. Joey. So we got these kind of, well, we know, Cheryl, but we're not, yeah, we're just, we like to play. Kind of, but not really. Now, Marshall and Holly is both in trouble with me today. We're all in the doghouse. So here's the thing, though, because of what takes place in this world, the way things happen, we need to get it. So in that scripture, disciples were talking, who's the greatest? And Jesus, of course, he knows everything, right? So he says, what are you guys talking about? They shut up real quick. Didn't say nothing. And he says this, he says, if you want to be first, you have to be last. That goes completely contrary to the things that we've been taught. If you know, we have dinner every Sunday at Pat's, and usually we know who's going to be in the first of that line. Pat's laughing because she knows too. So there's a lot of things that we tease about. But in the kingdom of God, he who wants to be first must become last. I mean, it kind of just messes with their minds. You know, when we did those evaluations at work, everyone just putting in how great they were. And I'm like, you know, really? I do my job, and I think that's a good thing. And, you know, I don't lie on my reports. I think that's a good thing. But I have a really hard time trying to make myself look good. I have this thing in within me. I figure this. I'm going to do the best job I can, and God's going to bless the rest. Now, I got to be really honest with you. When I was younger, I was so proud of how humble I was. It's going to sink in a minute. How proud of how humble I was. I got to be honest. I was one time, this is, you know, a long time ago. I was sitting there and that thought came across my mind. You know, you're pretty proud of how humble you are. God started dealing with me because, see, in the kingdom of God, if you want to be first, you become last. Brother Billy, he always had something that he taught too, because, you know, all those years around Brother Billy, he was always saying things. He's talking about the story about when they get invited to the wedding feast. He says, don't take the seat of honor, but take the back seat, because if you take the seat of honor, someone comes in that's a little higher ranked than you, you're going to get moved out. He said, take the lowest seat, and then, you know, when God blesses, you'll get moved into this higher seat. When we start to learn that process, start putting other people in front of ourselves, then we watch God do amazing, amazing things. You know, we're always talking here in the church. We always want to be training up leaders. Amen. So there's sometimes we want to push one out to the front and let them shine for a little bit. Sometimes we might pull them back in a little bit. There's a process in life that we go through. And with God, it doesn't always work the way that we think it's supposed to work. Years ago when we were here, the church was, Brother Gary left, Gary Donahue, and so we started getting different associate pastors, and I kept thinking, you know, I'm the man, just here I am. I didn't want to say nothing, but think, you're going to see me one of these days. Well, you know what happened? We got a phone call from Brother Billy, and he asked us to move all the way to Arkansas. So we packed up, loaded up our car, put the beds on top of the roof and tied them down. No, that's the other way. That's Arkansas to California. Yeah, just kidding. See, I must decrease so that he can increase. James, now just real quick before we move on. James, he considered himself. This is Jesus' brother. He grew up with Jesus. How many knows if you grow up with a brother and all of a sudden one day you find out he's Christ the Messiah? Wow, that's kind of different. That's James, but you know what James said? James said that I'm a doulos. I'm a bond slave to this earthly brother, which I know is Christ the Lord. And that's powerful. That's really powerful that he did that. So I want to give you three quick things that's going to help us learn these principles. Number one is, on the count of three, one, two, three. Pain, ouch. How many likes pain? I'm telling you, my body is hurting this morning. My hips and my sides are hurting. I don't like pain. But you know, honestly, the thing that's made me grow the most in life has been pain. Pain is never a fun thing that you have to go through. But I'm telling you that when you go through pain, it does amazing things in your life. Check this out. This is James 1, 2 through 4. It says, dear brothers and sisters, read this with me. When troubles of, what does it say? Any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And then we're going to go to the next one. On the next one, it says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. See, you know, see what it says on the top line of verse 4? It says what? So let it grow. When pain happens, when things happen that's tough, he didn't say run away from it. He says this, let it grow. Because God knows what's best for us. We don't always know that. But when that starts to happen, we start to grow. Because of pain, I'm a Christian. Years ago, in my life, you know, I got to this place. I was trying to figure out who God was. How many's ever been there before? We all have, right? And so one day on the way to work, I was driving this four-wheel drive out the end of Lincoln Street and had a little accident and was thrown out of the road and flew through the air and landed on my head, slid down the road at 55 miles an hour on my head. Tore that road up something bad. It was a mess. But when I was in the hospital, because see, when I went over the car, the battery acid exploded in my face and went all over. I had one of those, what Cheryl calls a puffy jacket. It was just a down jacket. I had a down jacket on. And I didn't know the battery acid went all over my face until later when I got home and I washed my jacket and it completely disintegrated. But my face swelled out where you couldn't even tell that I had a nose. And I remember looking in the mirror thinking, I'm going to look like this the rest of my life. I think I told you my sister Ninny came in and she kept alongside of the bed. Since I couldn't get out of the bed, they had this little jar full of yellow stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And my sister says, take a drink. I had bandages on my eyes, but I knew my sister, so I knew what she's talking about. But see, what happened is because of the battery acid, all the skin on my top lip had actually all swelled out, but I could blow on it just right, and it was stuck on the bottom. It would just kind of come and wave at you. So my sister would say that. I go, and it'd blow, and it'd kind of wave at her, freak her out. But see, I thought that's what I was going to look like for the rest of my life. And then soon as that happened, I took a three-wheeler to the beach. I was just got well from that accident, just where I could do something. I went to the beach, and I was still doing stupid things like we do, drinking and smoking dumb stuff. And my hat fell off my three-wheeler. I went to grab it. It caught my right arm, yanked me off the three-wheeler, ran my face under the three-wheeler. I put my face under there so it would get more traction. I broke my nose, tore my lip all up. I get home from the day of the coast, and I'm a mess. My face is all bunged up real bad. I went up to the gas station and ran into my dad. My dad looked at me and says, what happened to you, son? But it was because of pain. It started leading me to Jesus. I knew there was something better than where I'm at right now. I was getting tired that every time I took my three-wheeler out, I brought it back in pieces. Right? What a mess. So there was always growth because of pain. One last thing I want to talk about you just for a couple minutes, or the second thing, and there'll be one more after this one, is worship. How does worship help with a heart for God? See, the nature of Christian worship is from the inside out. It says this in John 4, 23 through 24. It says, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Do we have that slide, Zach? John 4:23-24. Sorry about that. It says, so the time is coming, it's here now, when the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is what? We can't always see spirit, pneuma, but we can always see the effects of the wind. So the Father's looking for those who worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So what God is saying is it's not about a ritual. It's not about, you know, the music comes on. So, you know, man, this morning I'm going to focus my mind. I'm going to focus my spirit, man, this morning. I'm going to take time out, and I'm just going to come before God, and I'm just going to love on him. I'm going to hang out with him. Like, years ago when we were just right in the involved of ministry, I got burnout. How many understands burnout? Raise your hand if you understand burnout. Okay, we've all probably, if you're a Christian, it's been very long, you probably understand burnout. But I went to the 10th degree of burnout. I mean, it was so bad. You know, every once in a while when you go through burnout, at least there's a little drip. And it's like, wow. You know, if you're really thirsty, a little drip tastes good. And I remember just, the bottom fell out. I was praying and nothing's hitting heaven. I got to the point, it got so bad that I definitely wanted to get away from ministry as fast as I could. It was the worst it had ever been. And just seeking God, because here's the thing, if you never know what the spirit presence feels like, you don't miss it as much. But when you walked in that presence and you've felt the closeness, there was one time worship was going on kind of like this morning. It went on for quite a while, and I walked in and went to the back room at the other church where you had the prayer rooms in the back. I went to the back room, and I stretched out, and I just laid there before God and just began to weep at his presence, just enjoying that. And I remember feeling if I opened my eyes, I would die, because the holiness of God was so powerful in that moment. When those things happen, they're great. They don't always happen. There's seasons they don't happen, and we still move by faith. And so I thought, I'm just going to have to keep moving by faith. And it was so dry. So I remember one day, me and another guy, we just went down to the sanctuary. We put some music on. We just started walking around. So hungry for a move of God. So hungry for God just to touch my spirit one more time. And the way the pews worked, on this side, the pews ran this way, lined up this way, then the rest lined that way. No, they're the same thing. But on the back side over there, there was an area where you could walk. You could come in the back door from the classrooms and walk back there to get to the rest of the pews without having to walk down front. And I remember, I'm back there, and I just laid out completely, just stretched out before God. And I've been dry for, I don't know, a long, long time, months and months and months on end, just needing some freshness from God. And as I laid out and I just laid there and began to pray and began to seek God, I remember I started weeping uncontrollably. And this is weird, but that was one of the greatest feelings, just to know that God is still there. You know what I mean? And it was in that moment, through that worship, through that hanging out with God, through that fasting, that the presence of God just came down and just, man, I thought, okay, God, I know you're real. Because it gets, when it's so dry for so long and you're praying and you're seeking God, and you're beginning to wonder, God, are you even there? How many knows what I'm talking about? You've been there, right? God, I want to experience your presence. Check this text out. I love this text. Romans 12:1b, he says, and 2b, he says, Paul exhorts us to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what began to happen in that moment. My mind started getting renewed because of worship, because of just losing myself. And that's what I love, and that's what I pray for here, that we can just lose ourselves for a little while in his presence, because all the stuff that happens out there, when God completely fills this vessel full, you know at that point you can take on anything. Amen? It's that worship that's so intense, so incredible. And this last thing I want to leave you with, this last little point, is developing your heart. I want to read one scripture before that. Isaiah 61:3 says, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. We used to sing the song years ago. It was called, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I'm telling you, when everything's going crazy, when you start to do that, you start to put on the garment of praise, you begin to get lost in his presence, amazing things happen. And so the last point I want to make before we close this morning is developing your heart. You know how we develop our heart for God? It's by spending time with him. It's what he wants. He just wants us to spend time with him. And that's how we develop a heart for God. Yesterday, I got a phone call. I got a phone call on Friday, and I was really tied up, and I wasn't able to get to the person until late last night. And I called this person. I said, I hear you called. And I said, what's going on? And just person's just been through hell. I mean, just been through everything you can think of and really close to giving up on life. And life is a mess. And she was telling me that she went to see her doctor actually sent her to this psychiatrist. And with the psychiatrist, he's telling her, he says something to her, do you want to see your loved one again? I'm trying not to go in too many details because I never want to embarrass anybody unless it's family. So she's seeing this psychiatrist. And he asked her, do you want to see your loved one again? And she says, I'm sure I do. He says, well, we're going to help. She says, I can make that happen. She's telling me about this. Because see, when you're hurting and things are going inside, you'll go anywhere for help. She's talking to this guy. And so I told her, I said, listen, don't go back to this quack anymore. See, when someone leaves this world, we will get to see them again if they're Christians. We'll see them in heaven again. But we're not going to, from this life, go back and see them because it's not going to be what we think. It's a lie of the enemy trying to push off everything. So we're just talking about, wow, this is kind of crazy, right? But see, the whole thing about developing your heart, it's not about a formula. It's not about I do step one, I do step two, and I do step three, and then God shows up. Years ago when the great revival started out in the church, let me tell you what, this is what I grew up in. The church was running about 150 people, and it grew to 500 really fast. Just an incredible move of God happened. And I remember we're all up in the prayer rooms. We're hanging out. We're praying. The prayer rooms are down at the back of the church. You'd walk all the way down to the front and go up to the prayer rooms. So what happened, if you didn't get in the prayer room early, you couldn't get in. But when you got in there, it was a contest who could be the loudest. I mean, guys are just, they're loud, you know, loud and proud, and just really, really loud. And so when I became a Christian, I thought the only way you could talk to God was be loud. How many's ever thought that before? Or how many's ever seen that before? Okay, a lot more hands, yeah, I thought. Okay, so here's the thing, though. I love the story about Elijah. I'm going to end with this. If you guys want to come back, worship team. Elijah had just did, it was a showdown on Mount Carmel where he defeated the 500 prophets of Baal. And then he starts taking off out into the desert. Jezebel says, what you did to my prophets, I'm going to do to you tomorrow. And he's scared for his life. So he's running, trying to get as far away as he can because he's afraid. Just did this miracle thing. And then out in the middle of the desert, God talks to him, feeds him. He runs on that food for 40 days. Then he gets to Mount Carmel. And at Mount Carmel, he's wanting to hear God's voice. How many wants to hear God's voice? And I don't mean the audible voice. I'm just talking about his presence, right? We just want to be in God's presence. That's our desire. Something amazing happened in that setting. There's a wind that goes by, and the wind is so powerful, it breaks rocks in two. Rocks are just getting crushed. And the word says, and God wasn't in the wind. There was a great fire, and God has always, or at times, has showed up before in fire. And the scripture says, and God was not in the fire. There was a great earthquake. And God says he wasn't in the earthquake. Put that scripture up, the last one. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. What I'm trying to say is we're getting our heart ready for God. We got to understand that God's not always going to use a formula. We think if we do step one, step two, step three, we're going to get step four. Sometimes God is in a loud shout and in a loud praise. And I love that. But there's other times that's not in that. Sometimes he's just in that still, small, quiet voice. How many knows that God can work in a still, small, quiet voice? One of the most powerful times I've ever encountered God, when a man walked up to me and he whispered in my ear everything I was praying. He wasn't loud. But this is God saying, I understand the circumstance, and I'm God, I can heal. I can touch and I can move. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. Amen. What a great God that we have. So I want to challenge you this morning. This is the third week, cultivating a heart for God. Cultivating, preparing our heart. Getting it ready just to be infused. I told the worship team this morning, I just took a few minutes. I said, you know what we do every Sunday morning is we're doing our best connect heaven with us. They're leading worship, but it's not a show. They want to lead you to God's presence. Because when God's presence is in the house, things change. But that's what God desires. So this morning, I want to ask you to do something. You know, if you're a runner, you run a lot. And what do they always do? They check to see what their heart rate is. What's your heart rate for God? Is it beating fast for God? Is there a pulse? Had a friend of mine back in Arkansas that was a mortician. And every time he'd shake my hand, but these two fingers were checking my pulse. He did that every time. Oh, yeah, you're still alive. God wants to check our pulse. How's our heart for God? The only person that can answer that is you. Some of you guys have incredible hearts. But I know for me, every once in a while, I just got to take some time out and check. God, how am I doing? Is my heart for you? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, God, this morning, as we just do a spiritual checkup on our heart, when we sing, God, as we worship in spirit and in truth, is my mind a million miles away? Or God, am I connecting with you? Because God, I know that you want to connect with me. So God, as I hang out with you and as I spend time with you, God, I know that your desire is to fill my heart and my soul with you. Is my heart always pushing for the front of the line? Or am I moving towards the back of the line? Am I thinking of others more than myself? So God, this morning, as we just ask some questions, now I pray, Holy Spirit, that you begin to work on our hearts. Because God, we there's things that we don't even know that's happening in here, God, that you actually come down and you start to bring out and then you start healing. So God, I pray this morning that there's a healing process to the heart. God, maybe we prayed about some things that didn't happen in our timing. God, remind us that no matter what happens, you're still on the throne. God, maybe it's relationships have got all messed up. But God, you're still the healer. You're still the one that wants to touch. So I pray, God, that you do that. God, let us check our heart. So let's pray this prayer together. Say, God, I give you permission to check my heart. My desire is to be like you, God. Have my heart beat for what your heart beats for. God, help me be concerned about others. God, I love you. And I praise and exalt you, God. God, I pray, just fill this place full of your presence, full of your love for one another, God. Have your way in our hearts. We thank you, God. I'm going to ask them to sing this song. That's a little better. I want to remind you one thing before you leave this morning. If you want to go to the banquet February 14th, make sure you sign up over there before you leave. So I want to say, you know, church, we love you guys. You are an awesome body. We are so thankful every time we turn around just to remember that we get to be here with you. You're blessed, right? Amen? Because we get to hang out in the house of God together. Love you guys. Bless you. Bye.